It's good to see everyone this evening. Of course, in the news this past week, all of the warnings about the approaching hurricane and many warnings given for people to evacuate, and some people are now estimating that maybe perhaps as many as 60% in some of those locations did evacuate. You might say, well, why didn't everybody evacuate? Well, they've got their reasons, and we need to understand those things. And it certainly is disturbing to us when we see that they don't evacuate, and then people have to put their lives in jeopardy to try to rescue them from the top of their roof and those types of things. But I couldn't help but think that as those warnings were going out, you know, here's the biggest hurricane to hit the East Coast ever, and you better get out, you better make preparations and so forth, that how that warnings are given, and sometimes warnings are heeded and sometimes warnings are not heeded. Sometimes warnings are given and also suggestions are made or instructions are given as to how to prepare for such events. And the Word of God is no different. I couldn't help but think of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7 and following, where he says, "The end of all things is at hand." Well, if you haven't been listening to Peter up to this point, maybe you should start listening now. The end of all things is at hand. Not some things, not most things. The end of all things is at hand. Now, that phrase, at hand, is an interesting phrase in and of itself, isn't it? If something is at hand, where is it? It's where you can put your hand on it. It's close by. And many times, that's the way that the word is used. But sometimes it is used, such as in this case, it is used in the sense of it is imminent. It is going to happen. Some people have explained it in relation to time when you say, is it at hand, in relation to that, well, with God, time doesn't mean anything. And it could be 10,000 years, and it's still, in comparison to eternity, that's 10,000 years is at hand. But I think that primarily it's used of here that it's imminent. This is certainly going to happen. The end of all things is going to happen. So, is there anything I can do about that? Well, you're not going to stop it from happening. That's certainly true. Just like you're not going to stop a hurricane from hitting you. So, what does he say? Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Be serious and watchful. The end of all things is at hand. Be serious and be watchful in your prayers. Be sober-minded. This is not a joke. This is not a fairy tale. This is not something that might happen. This is something that's going to happen. If the end of all things is certainly going to happen, then what does that tell me about the importance of my things? The things that I cherish, my little treasures, my things that I need for survival, my things that I enjoy in life, the things that I built to be here for 100 years or more. Things used to be built to last for a long time, you know, when they had enameled signs and things like that. They never wear out, you know, if you don't put holes in them. They were just meant to last forever. Now we don't build so much things that way. Be serious about the fact that the end of all things is going to happen. your things don't really matter. Your things, Peter will say in 2 Peter, are going to be burned up with everything else, including the earth and the universe and all of it. So be serious about it and be watchful in your prayers. Jesus, while he was here upon the earth, had a lot to say about watch and pray. Watch and pray. In fact, we have a song that that's based upon him saying that so many times. Watch and pray. Are you serious about watching and praying? The 21st chapter of Luke is similar to the 24th chapter of Luke, and this is the latter part of that, the conclusion, you might say, of what Jesus is talking about here. He said, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, the cares of this life, that day come on you unexpectedly. Take heed to yourselves. The end of all things is at hand. Jesus talked about a couple of things. Jesus talked about the destruction of Jerusalem, and that led the apostles into a question about the end of all things. And so this is very similar. Luke chapter 21 is very similar to Luke 24. In fact, I want to spend a little bit of time with you in Luke 21, but I want to read the rest of this here. It will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, if you have your New Testaments with you, whether between the covers or electronically or wherever you might have it, I encourage you to turn over to Luke chapter 21 and take a look at this passage with me. In verse 6 he says, these things which you behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. They have been talking about how beautiful the temple was. Yeah, it's beautiful, but it's going to be destroyed. And they were speaking of the temple, and he was speaking of the temple, but in the grand scheme of things, he was saying the temple and everything else is going to be destroyed. It's beautiful, but don't get caught up in that. It's just a thing. That led them into asking a question. They asked him, saying, Master, when shall these things be? And what will the sign be when these things shall come to pass? Don't you find it interesting that I said, well, when's this going to happen? What's going to be the sign? Did anybody say anything about a sign? He just said it's going to be thrown down. Did I say there's going to be a sign? No. What makes you think there's going to be a sign? Do you see how people think? What people expect, it's kind of like, you know, when in the days of Job and in the days of the apostles, that when bad things happened, people assumed that God was bringing judgment on them for some sin that they had committed. No, that's not the case. That wasn't the case, but that's the way men thought. And people thought, well, there's going to be a sign. I want you to notice what Jesus says in response to that. Take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draws near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Not one stone is going to be left upon another. They assumed he was talking about the end of the world. He was talking about a specific destruction of the temple by the Romans and that sort of thing. And he'll talk about that in just a little bit. But right here, he says, look, you people are so easily deceived. First of all, you expect there's going to be a sign, and there's going to be guys coming and who are going to say, this is the sign. The time is near. And you're going to eat it up. You're going to believe it. You're going to follow after him. He says, don't follow after them. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Nations are going to fall, rise, and nations are going to fall. Over here, he talks about in verse 25, he says, there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after these things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Has there ever been a generation that hasn't seen signs in the sun and signs in the moon? Remember the eclipse of the sun? Remember the blood moons a couple of years ago? And all of the false teachers that were talking about the blood moons? You can look at astrology and are there signs in the stars? And every generation has seen those things. Every generation has seen wars and rumors of wars. Every generation has seen distress of nations and perplexity. Every generation has had those who have stood up and said, that's what Jesus said, these things are going to happen. Yeah, Jesus said they were going to happen. And he said that, he didn't say that was going to be the sign. He said these things are going to happen. But here's the thing. Keep coming back to verse 9. Keep coming back to verse 9. Don't be terrified when you see these things. These things are not necessarily the end of all things. This is just part of life. This is part of living on this planet. That's the cycle of life. It's the way of mankind. It's the way of nature. A bunch of liberal politicians now are all upset about climate change. You know, it used to be global warming, but we proved that the globe wasn't warming, so now they had to back up and say, well, it's climate change. Guess what? The climate has always been changing on the earth. It has always been changing. There was a time that the whole earth was tropical in the days before the flood. Things changed after the flood. The whole climate has changed since the time of the flood. Continents are still moving. The planet's always going to be changing. The climate's always going to be changing. Do not be terrified. The bottom line is what we're looking at here. Take heed to yourselves. Yeah, all things are going to come to an end. Take heed to yourselves. Don't worry about the so-called signs that are not signs. They're just things that happen. But take heed to yourselves. Don't let your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness. Watch. Be serious. And watch. Don't start following me and then do something different. Don't let your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life. What are we going to eat and where are we going to live and what are we going to wear and who's going to love me? And don't let your heart be weighed down with those things. Because if you get caught up in the cares of this life, the day is going to come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Watch, therefore. and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. Yes, there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be persecutions. There will be signs in the heavens and signs on the earth. There will be troublesome times, but pray. And know that you're in the peace of God. That you're in the protection of God. And that as you go through even these persecutions, God is going to go with it, through you with it. That you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. The end of all things is at hand. What are we going to do? How do we prepare? Get serious about your life. Get serious about your soul. Get serious about the way that you're living. Are you living for Jesus, as we talked about this morning? Are you praying? Are you watchful in your prayers? Jesus talked about in your prayers, do not offer vain repetitions. What's a vain repetition? You know, you might pray the same words in a prayer. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's a, because you're repeating the same words, that doesn't make it vain. What makes it vain is you repeat the words without meaning it, without sincerity in your heart. You're just mouthing the words. Like people mouth the words of the quote-unquote Lord's Prayer. As if it's some kind of a magic potion or something to make you right before God. Be watchful in your prayers. Be serious when you pray. Know what you need to be praying for. And stand watch in your prayer. Above all things, have fervent love for one another. The end of all things is at hand. Have fervent love for one another. You know, when somebody says, the hurricane's coming, what do you think about? Well, you start thinking about your house, don't you? And securing your house. And boarding up your windows and sandbagging your house maybe, or cutting some trees down before the wind knocks them down. You start thinking about your evacuation route, right? The end of all things is at hand. Well, what am I going to do? Start thinking about yourself. The end of all things is at hand. Don't think about yourself. Have fervent love for one another. Love one another. In John 13 and verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Loving one another was not a new commandment. Leviticus 19, God told the children of Israel to love their neighbors. But the sincerity of that love is the new part of it. As I have loved you, sacrificially. Love when it's not convenient to love. Love when it's going to be hard for you to love. Love those who don't love you. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus expressed his love towards us before he ever knew if we would love him or not. As I have loved you, love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. The end of all things is at hand. Above all things, have fervent, intense, sincere, sacrificial love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. There he's quoting from Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12, this principle, love covers a multitude of sins. Rather than seeking revenge on somebody that has done you wrong, that's the context of Proverbs 10 and verse 12. Rather than seeking to do evil against those who have done evil, love them in hopes that they might change. Love your enemies in hopes that they will become your allies and your friends. The end of all things is at hand. So be hospitable to one another. Another word for hospitable is generous. Be generous to one another. Give of yourself, give of your time, give of your means, give of your talents and your abilities. And having fervent love for one another, be generous to one another. It's not just a little bit of love. It's not just a little bit of self. It's all of self for God and for others. The end of all things is at hand. So as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. There's a principle that a good friend of mine, a preacher friend of mine, that has passed from this life, but he even wrote a book that entitled Blessed to Bless. God has blessed us, each of us, with different abilities and talents, different insights, different gifts. But all of those gifts are given to us to serve Him and to serve one another. As each one has received a gift, you've received a gift. I don't know what your gift is, but God knows, and you know what your gift is. You know what you're good at in serving God and in serving others. And He's saying, use that, minister it, serve one another. As each one has received the gift, use that gift in service to others. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. You know, one thing, that one blessing, one gift that one might receive is the gift of, speaking, encouraging, edifying people. Encouraging people to move, encouraging people to change, encouraging people to think about their lives before God. You might have a gift in doing that. You can misuse that gift. If you're saying things that God doesn't authorize you to say. People say, well, once you're saved, you'll always be saved. People say have all kinds of false doctrines. We're aware of that, aren't we? But they're still persuasive in what they say. People know how to work on the emotions of people to get them feel emotional and move them to do things, but they might have an ulterior motive for doing that. You know, Jesus never appealed to the emotions of anyone. He reasoned with people. In fact, God even says in Isaiah chapter 1, He says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, we can make them as white as snow. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the Word of God has authorized him or her to speak. I don't think he's talking there about preachers per se. He's just talking about us even in private conversations with one another. As we're talking to each other and encouraging each other, we need to be counseling each other with God's word of counsel. Not what I think and what I feel, but what God has revealed to us about these matters. If anyone ministers, Let him do it with the ability which God supplies. Again, we come back up here to the verse 10. As each one has received the gift, minister it to one another. God's blessed you that you might be a blessing to others and a blessing to Him. And so, if you are going to serve, do it with the ability which God supplies. You know, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and how that the Corinthians were upset about the reception of miraculous spiritual gifts. And some were saying, well, because I haven't received the gift of tongues, then I'm just not going to participate in worship anymore. And some were saying, well, because you haven't received the gift of tongues, you're not on a par with us who have received it. And they were usually the ones who were faking tongues. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. You might not have the ability to be a preacher or a Bible class teacher, but you have some ability. You have the ability to help those who are in need. You have an ability to speak to people who need to be encouraged. You know what your ability is. You know how you can help in whatever area. You know how you can take some of the load off of others. Do it with the ability which God supplies, and don't say, well, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, or because I'm not the eye, I'm not part of the body. No, don't get caught up in that. Rejoice in what God has supplied you with and use that to His glory and to His praise. The end of all things is at hand. Get busy. Get busy doing what God has supplied you to do. Why should we do these things? Why should we be busy using what God has given us? He says that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That in all things God may be glorified. It's not about you being glorified. It's not about me being glorified. It's not about us being glorified. That in all things God may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ. Are you living for Jesus? He died for us. He lived for us. He set the example for us. So what the focus of our life should be. The focus of our life should not be on the end of all things. The focus of our life should be on the here and now. And I have the opportunity here and now to live to the praise and the honor and the glory of God. I have the opportunity here and now not to be caught up in carousing and drunkenness and the cares of life. I have the opportunity here and now to focus my life on the things that God has blessed me with and how to use those to bless others. And most importantly, bring glory to God. For I live in His dominion, and I want to emphasize His dominion. I want to invite others into that dominion. To Him it belongs, both now and forever and ever. The end of all things is at hand. Don't sit around wringing your hands and holding your head and waiting for an earthquake or waiting for the signs in the heavens or waiting for another war to come along. No, don't be looking. Those things are just part of life. The end of all things is at hand. Be busy doing what God has blessed you with the ability to do to His praise and His honor and His glory. If you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing this song.